Let's say you know how government works. You actually understand and physically get how government works. You know the art of compromise. You've worked over each side of the aisle to the point where people from both sides respect you. Okay, you can walk into the House Ag Committee, sit down with the now chairman of who holds the seat you used to hold as chairman of the House Ag Committee. Okay, and he treats you with respect, and you can make a deal where you can send a farm bill up to try to get it through, a bipartisan farm bill. How frustrated would you be right now? How frustrated would you be to see your Tea Party colleagues, just like Kevin Cramer? And I'm sorry, he was one of them on the steps of the Capitol this weekend screaming the Tea Party mantra. How frustrated would you be to see how this federal government is working or not working? That's one of the reasons I called Congressman Colin Peterson to come on today. Congressman Peterson, good to have you on News and Views.
Hey, Joel. Good morning.
You've been through this before. I realize that. But compare this to other times.
Well, it's much more partisan, much more dysfunctional than it was in 95, 96, but it's the same kind of confusion that happened back then about what's going to be open and what isn't, and who is going to affect and who isn't going to affect. It's you know, like what happened in Minnesota when they shut things down. It'll cost money in the end, because shutting things down and opening them up costs money. It doesn't make any sense, but you know, it is what it is, and from what I can tell, I don't know of any conversations that are going on this morning amongst anybody that's got the power to resolve this. It's just not happening, so I don't know how we're going to get out of this.
Give me a prediction, other than I don't know how we're going to get out of this. In the end, who's going to have to give in on this thing?
Well, I... you know, it's... I really don't... You know, if I were a mind reader, if I could read President Obama's mind and Harry Reid's mind and John Boehner's mind and Eric Cantor's mind, maybe I could give you an idea. You know, one of the Republican members told me last night that he thinks the solution is to lump everything together, the sequester, the debt ceiling, the CR, and a delay in Obamacare all in one package, and that somehow or another Obama would agree to that, because they would get rid of the sequester, and that would cause him to delay the health care bill. But I don't get any sense that Obama is anywhere close to that kind of an idea. But those are the kind of things that are being talked about.
What does this do to the farm bill that you've been working so hard on?
Well, it's not good. I can't see any good that's going to come out of this for the farm bill. You know, you can see, you know, I've been telling people, if you can't get the farm bill done, which is bipartisan, how are you going to get any of this other stuff done? And, unfortunately, I think I'm proven correct. One of the things I guess could happen is that if there is some kind of a big deal, potentially, I guess the farm bill could be put into that. That was talked about before. The problem is there's no discussions going on right now on the farm bill either. And what a lot of people missed is when Boehner this last week put the language in to allow them to put the bills back together again, which should have never been split in the first place. It also set up a process for him to appoint conferees. But what people don't realize is that he forced the Senate to go back and redo everything that they had done in terms of establishing their conferees. And so, you know, it's unclear at this point how this is going to play out, but I've been told by some that they think it's going to require the Senate to go through the whole rigmarole of getting around filibusters and so forth. It takes 3 or 4 weeks. The only way to avoid that is if they get unanimous consent. So I heard last night some people say that they think they might get unanimous consent. But so we're in a situation now where we're not even sure if we're going to be in a position to appoint conferees until the end of October. And there's no discussions going on. That, you know, Lucas talked to me last week about getting together with Stabenow and Cochran. I told him I was happy to, and he asked me if I was still willing to work, and I said I am. But nothing has happened. We haven't had any meetings. So, you know, we're in Never Never Land here.
It hasn't the Farm Bill expired as of now?
Yes.
So what does that mean for American ag producers out there who you have represented for a long time?
Well, nothing in terms of the commodity. First of all, crop insurance is not doesn't need the Farm Bill to continue. So crop insurance continues whether we have a Farm Bill or not. Food stamps, ironically, continue whether we have a Farm Bill or not. So the people that wanted bigger cuts in food stamps are now going to get zero, you know, by doing what they did. The issue is, you know, the commodity programs, the first effect there is when the dairy program expires on December 31st. For whatever reason, when I wrote the 2008 bill, and I'm not even sure why I did this, I think because the dairy program apparently was on a calendar year, we had dairy go until the end of December. So on the 1st of January, the secretary is required to go to permanent law on dairy if we don't pass the Dairy Security Act that I've been working on for the last 4 years. That means that he has to set in place a mechanism to raise the price of dairy to the farmer to $39 a hundredweight, which is about 2.25 times what it is right now. I've had discussions with him. He's not sure how he would even accomplish that. But that's the first effect. And the next is when the winter wheat crop is harvested in May. Then you have to implement permanent law on wheat and so forth. The other thing is there's some programs that are not funded. They were funded when we extended the bill last year through September 30th, but now they're no longer funded. WRP, a couple other conservation programs, energy programs, some of the rural development are not funded. So they are no longer available, and there won't be any sign-up on them. So that's a mixed bag on that, too. But there's not any overwhelming consequence in the immediate future other than farmers don't know what the heck's going to happen, which is not a good situation.
Congressman, what does this mean for sugar? In the headlines today, there's a Springer article about American Crystal Sugar defaulting on a $71.2 million government loan. So Crystal Sugar is basically forfeiting the sugar that they put up as collateral for the loan, and they say it's the best option they can have given the low sugar prices. So how does this affect sugar growers out there and the sugar users out there?
Well, we had a fight over sugar, you know, on the floor of the House and the Senate, and we prevailed. We maintain the current sugar program in both bills. So if and when we get to conference, sugar will not be an issue because it's been affirmatively upheld in both bills. And so therefore, you know, it's not going to be any change. So they're, I think, okay for the time being. If we get a bill conferenced and worked out, but you know, that's what we don't know.
Yeah, so that too is left to whether or not we get to conference committee and get something worked out on this.
Yeah.
Congressman, I know what type of day you're having. For the people of the 7th District, what's your message to them? The ones signing up for the Social Security, the ones that are,
well, the stuff that has to do with the public safety is going to continue. You know, I believe Social Security, those kind of things will continue. So there's, you know, that's why I say it's a kind of a hit or miss situation. You know, the EPA is largely shut down. You know, some of those kind of agencies are basically furloughing everybody. Agriculture will furlough a significant number of people. But, you know, like, you know, FAA, flight controls and those kind of things are going to continue. Food safety inspections will continue. Those types of things will continue at least for the time being. So there's a lot of confusion. You know,
what about your staff, Congressman?
Well, we have the ability to decide whether to furlough them or not. And when we went through this in 95, 96, I did not furlough them. I deemed them to be essential. I think given all the confusion that's going on, it's important that we be available to answer people's questions that are surely going to come up as all of this stuff unfolds. And so we are going to keep our staff in place, and I think that's the best decision for the people of my district.
Congress, what about you yourself and your fellow congressmen? Should the American government be paying you during this time that the government shut down?
Probably not. But as I understand it, the 27th Amendment to the Constitution says that you cannot change our pay until a election intervenes. And so we can't raise our pay and we can't cut our pay until after the next election. So I think that's the answer. But
are you going to accept
I will abide by whatever everybody else decides to do.
Okay.
If they figure they can, I think it apparently violates the Constitution. So I don't know that it's even an issue. But if they decide to do it they decide to stop the pay, obviously I will do what everybody else does.
Congressman, I have to ask you this. You know people from the other side of the aisle from you. You've worked with them. You've compromised with them. There's times that the Democrats been mad at heck at you over how well you can work with the other side of the aisle. Not all of them are these Tea Party kooks. I mean, how when you get them alone in the halls and there's no recorder around and it's just you and them talking, a congressman to congressman or woman, what reaction are you getting from the actual Republicans that have common sense instead of this Eric Cantor Tea Party ideologue philosophy?
Well, I get a lot of shaking of heads from some of these colleagues. You can tell by the look in their eye they're embarrassed about what's going on, but it's like there's nothing they can do about it. I know the Republican members of the Agriculture Committee are beside themselves the way this is being handled. And they just won't hardly look me in the eye because they're embarrassed about what's going on. They know this is not being handled appropriately, and I think they know that this is not doing them any good with their constituents in farm country. But, you know, right now we have these 40, 50 ideologues on the Republican side that are running the show, and you know, it's like they didn't realize we had an election. And, you know, the Senate has told them they're not going to do this. They went ahead and did it anyway. The president, even if the Senate passed some of this stuff, the president would veto it, and it takes a two-thirds vote to override the veto. So, I mean, this is just not, doesn't make any sense. And John McCain has said that. Chuck Grassley has said it. You know, a lot of Republicans have said, what the heck are you guys doing? You know, I've got some problems with Obamacare myself, but nobody will. I've gone to members and said, look, I've got 50, 60 Democrats that will work with you to fix some of these problems. But they don't want to do that. It's all or nothing. And so nothing gets done. That's what happened with the Farm Bill on food stamps. And all or nothing. And nothing will be the result.
Congressman, whatever you get paid, it isn't enough, in my personal opinion. Thank you for joining us on News and Views.
All right. Well, hopefully we'll figure out some way to get out of this mess.
You bet. We'll be talking again to you soon.
Okay, thanks.
Congressman Colin Peterson, ladies and gentlemen of the 7th District in Minnesota.